There we go. We're live.
Dave, we're live. Is this working? Is the box holding up the laptop nice and sturdy?
This is what happens when you leave it up to us to take care of the tech. So, hey, everybody, we're here for another Vine edition. Very timely. The Bank of Canada on Wednesday just announced a mega rate increase of 1%.
That was a whopping one.
We're all like 75 bips all day long. 100 bips.
1%, yeah. Wow. You know, the Fed, when they increased theirs by, I saw this funny meme that it was when the Fed increased theirs by 0.75, there was a photo of the Bank of Canada that said, here, hold my beer. So yeah, prime is currently now sitting at 4.7% with most lenders. When was the last time we had 4.7%? Do you know?
You know what? I don't recall, actually. Before COVID, we got pretty up there, but it wasn't this high. I think you'd have to go back to like, maybe like 15 years ago.
I'm gonna have to get back on that there, but certainly a little bit more than most people expected. And you know, after reading some of the commentary from the Bank of Canada, they're basically calling a front load. So essentially, what they're trying to do is get ahead of inflation as much as possible versus having to do several increases down the road. So first off, Dave, what are your thoughts on this increase?
Well, look, I think they're shocking the market. I think they're basically trying to get consumers to act now, right? Get consumers to reduce their spending, you know, increasing the cost instantly of things like mortgages and loans. So people stop, you know, stimulating the economy effectively, right? They're trying to get into a soft landing situation. I don't think anybody wants a recession. They're looking for a soft landing, right? I don't know if this is going to change unemployment numbers. I think they're trying to do all this inflation without triggering any large unemployment. I'm not surprised. I think they're going to do more, to be honest with you. I think this is not the last one.
So some of the notes that I saw show that, right here it comes, I'll pull it up, that there may be an additional 0.75 to 1% before the end of the year. But it seems like they'll probably pause or wait for a little bit more data before any future increases. Because at one point they were talking about a July and then an immediate increase right afterwards.
Yeah,
I think there might be a little bit more of a pause before they make that decision because they've got to wait for some of these impacts to come through.
Yeah, look, man, the reality is the whole thing in Ukraine and Russia is not something that I think everybody kind of saw coming really through the whole supply chain with regards to oil, you know. And now we're feeling the impact of it, right? So a lot of what's happening here is just simply to do with the global impact. It has very little to do with what Canada can control on its own. So I do think they need to kind of sit back, look at the data, see the impact that's been in these rates. You know, a lot of people suggest that, a lot of economists suggest that it takes anywhere between 6 to 8 months before you can see the impact of a rate increase. So we're still haven't really truly seen the impact of the last rate increase, let alone this one here.
So some additional notes. So some of the data is showing that the inflation, which is currently at 7.7%, will likely average somewhere around the 8% range. But they hope to see inflation start to drop later this year, at the end of this year, which would be a good sign, of course. And they feel that we'll be able to get back to our target, the target being 2 to 3%, sometime the end of 2024. So that timeline is about a year and a half to 2 years is what we've been saying for the last little while. How long it's going to take to get out of the current economic cycle of rate increases, bring down inflation, and with bringing down inflation also means your rate would come down as well. So we've been saying this, it's documented. We've been saying this since early this year, you know, getting into a short-term option or an option that allows you to make changes is the way to go. We actually had a recent example that we should probably share.
Yeah, we had, you know, we started having this conversation about 3-4 months ago about the impact of rates and where they were going and maybe hedging yourself. You know, that conversation has been ongoing, and actually a lot of clients that had a prime last one, we hedged them a couple months ago, and now the prime is 4.7, their rate is 3.6. We hedged them with a 3.69 fixed rate for 2 years that will expire sometime late August or early September. So
perfect timing.
And the client's weighted average is 2.79 over 41 months, because that will be the total term by the time you're all said and done. It's no longer a 5-year term because of what moving to a 2-year. 2.79 weighted average is pretty damn good, and you stop the bleeding right now.
It's also very digestible. A 1 or 2 year term is easy to commit to. It's easy to visualize, you know, I'm probably not going to sell my house in 2 years. So it's easy to kind of avoid any penalties with a premature sale or something like that.
Well, people are generally longer in their homes. Let's face it. People who bought in this market or just before are not necessarily maybe making a move. Lending is getting a little bit more difficult, more complex. It's getting harder to qualify with the rate increases. So I think people are going to sit still in their homes. I don't think you see a ton of turnover right now. But the reality is, hedging yourself, puts you through that 2 year cycle that we're talking about, 2023, 2024. And that's honestly probably when you start seeing rates come down, will be sometime in 2024. Yeah. I don't think you're going to see a massive rate drop happening next year. So I think it's great advice. And I'd still be giving people that advice today. You know, I think a lot of people were relying on the TD variable and the payment. But I think a lot of people forgot that the TD variable fixed payment does have a trigger. The trigger's going to kick in and there's going to be a lot of people who are going to get shocked when the trigger kicks in. And a lot of them are going to starting 30 days from now, a lot of people will start getting updated. So,
clarify the trigger rate. So the trigger rate is some lenders offer a variable rate option, but as rates increase, your payments remain the same because essentially more of your payments going towards interest. The challenge is at some point rates get high enough where you're not even covering your interest. And so a trigger payment is required, which is going to require the clients to now have this very big increase in their regular payment. And in some cases, a lump sum as well to make sure that their amortization is in line. And I think for anyone who went with the strategy of I'm just going to get a variable rate that's sort of locked in for me, this is something that, you know, will be a big surprise for a lot of people, especially as rates will likely continue to rise towards the end of the year.
Yeah, it's a real thing, right? And the reality is some lenders, you know, may do it different than others, but there is a real risk that they'll re-amortize a loan back to, you know, like a 30-year AM in order to get that back into a proper repayment schedule. And that could be a 20% payment increase. It could be very substantial. So, you know, buyer beware. But I think if I was in that situation, I'd be looking at maybe hedging myself and just locking into a fixed rate.
Short-term fixed rate.
Short-term, yeah. I would never. I don't think anybody should be taking a five-year fix in this market unless you had
one-year or two-year fixed rate is an attractive option. We've been recommending that for a long time now in the last couple months. You know, if you're trying to, secure some of the best pricing, it's still available through variable rates, but with the caveat that your rates will probably see an increase later this year. But when rates do come down, you'll be the first one to benefit from that drop in rates. And then another solution we were recommending, you know, most recently, despite all these announcements around HELOC changes, is considering the possibility of using a HELOC for some of your borrowing to try and keep your monthly payments as low as possible, keep your loan open, and then allow you to go into something a little bit more long-term, whether it's later this year or even next year when it's a little bit more appropriate. So a lot of different ways to go about doing this. Now, in terms of the actual impact for everybody, for every $100,000 of borrowing that you have, it's about $60 more per month. So if you've got a $500,000 mortgage, it's an increase of $300. If you've got a $1 million mortgage, it's an increase of about $600. So that's the impact on any variable rate mortgages that you have, any sort of line of credits or HELOCs that you might have. You know, that's kind of the direct impact on there. Now, I had a client, this is kind of an interesting story. So a lot of the conversation we have is rates are so high now, it doesn't make sense for me to buy real estate. And I would challenge that argument. I would say, hold on a second. Okay, let's just go through your line of thought here. So rates are currently sitting, let's call it 4.5%, just as an average and just, you know, what's out there. Whereas earlier this year, rates were well under 3%. So a huge difference there. Let's say there's a spread of 2% on your interest rate. And let's say you're buying a $1 million property. The cost of borrowing on $1 million with a 2% spread is about 20 grand. $20,000 in 1 year. Let's take that over 2 years, which is the time that I think it'll take to get out of the cycle. We'll call it 40. Let's just round it up to 50 grand. Be conservative. 50 grand. My question is, if you're buying a $1 million property, do you think you could get more than a $50,000 discount today versus values in January this year? I would say almost for sure in most markets right now.
Yeah, I think most markets have seen a bit of a price reduction. You know, so it might cost you 50 grand in interest, let's say, but you'll probably have to benefit the same or greater on the price point. Because let's face it, this isn't going to be the way the market's going to sit indefinitely. People have very short memories. The reality is rates are coming back down and consumer confidence, it's still very high and unemployment is still very low. people will be roaring back into real estate just as fast as they did before. So don't expect that real estate values will continue going down, and they will become depressed indefinitely, because that's definitely not the global trend that we've seen for the last 20 years.
I think the main thing is just being able to make to afford those payments. I would recommend to anyone right now, even with the increase we've had, assume that rates will go up another 1%, which seems to be the average consensus with most economists, most bank economists. They feel that rates could go up between 0.75 or 1% more before they start coming down. If you can budget for that amount, I think now's a great time to buy a property, because you're probably competing with a lot less people and you're able to get into something a little bit more affordable than it would have been in January. And if you can ride it out for 2 years, now you're in a position to renew or refinance into much better options, and then, you know, continue to enjoy the, those benefits. So I think that's worth mentioning. I saw this interesting article on the Financial Post where they said that in the last 30 years, anytime we've had a significant increase in rates, there's generally been a equally significant decrease in rates within about a year and a half. Mm-hmm. So kind of is pretty consistent with what we're saying. About a year and a half to 2 years is how long you'll need to ride this out before we see rates come down a little bit more in line. So any last thoughts, Dave?
Well, yeah, look, this, you know, I think you have to remember that kind of history tends to repeat itself, right? You know, back in 95, rates were sitting around 8%. You know, so the overnight rate, and look where we are today. So
it dropped down to 3% in about a year and a half.
About a year and a half, 2 years. But in 1981, you know, rates went from 10% to 21.5%, and then it went back down to 10% in over a 12-month cycle.
2008, we were the mid fours. A little over a year later.
There we are, 2008. That was the last time we were this.
Almost a year and a half later, you're under 1%. So, you know, I think it's key to remember these are not permanent rates. No. These rate increases are being done to bring down inflation and sort of get ahead of inflation. And again, if you can ride it out, I think there's some interesting options out there. So that's the best advice I can
give. Also, let's remember that we're probably not going to go back to exactly where we
are. No. Yeah, that's
important. That bottom might be the bottom we'll see for the next 20 years or longer. Yeah. Right? So let's be reasonable about that. But look, the way I look at it, real estate is one of these things. It's long-term, right? You only lose money if you sold it at the wrong time. Most people, if you buy a home, you live in a long period of time, you're going to do very, very well. There's not many investments out there that are going to outperform that.
Yeah.
So it's a great investment. It's a great way to create some stability in your life, having that permanent shelter over, you know, having a place to raise your family and so forth. So I wouldn't pull back if I can afford it.
Yeah.
As long as you can afford it. If you're confident with your employment and you can afford the current cost of funds, you know what? I would definitely jump in the marketplace. I would never try to time the market. Everyone has just tried to time the market. I get to hear anybody do that successfully.
Yeah. All my purchases have been mistimed, so. But you're right. You can't go into a purchase like this thinking you're going to maximize the timing. I think go in with a long-term view. More importantly, make sure you can afford the payments. And also, more importantly, make sure your life is in place and your family will enjoy this space. I think those are all important. But, you know, this is all going to be something we're going to stop talking about in the next year and a half or 2 years. Just like with COVID, you know, as COVID sort of becomes a distant memory, this whole discussion will also be a distant memory, and we'll likely see another boom, real estate boom, through the next cycle as well. So take advantage when others are scared. This is a great time to be buying. You know, connect with the team, put together a custom plan. There's lots of interesting solutions out there beyond the regular banks that you can leverage and take advantage of.
Yeah, I always say every time there's any kind of economic stress, it's generally an opportunity. Take advantage.
Glass half full.
Always half full. Cheers.
Is this half full? Look, it's almost halfway. Glass half full.
We'll give you the benefit.
Take care, everyone.